Good to see everyone here this morning. We're glad you've been able to come to be with us to worship God together. And we're going to look this morning, beginning in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 38. Jeremiah chapter 38, and we begin reading in verse 17. He says, "Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you surely surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then your soul shall live. This city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. But if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then the city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from their hand.'" Zedekiah the king said to Jeremiah, "I am afraid of the Jews who have defected to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they abuse me." But Jeremiah said, "They shall not deliver you. Please obey the voice of the Lord, which I speak to you, so it shall be well with you and your soul shall live." You think about the situation. Zedekiah was the king of Judah. The Babylonian armies had come, surrounded the city, and they were about to destroy them. And Zedekiah, being the last king of Judah, it was going to be upon him to either stand up and do what God says or to be destroyed and allow not only himself, but also his family and the city of Jerusalem and all of those things to be destroyed. So Jeremiah came with the word of God and said, "If you will surrender to the king of Babylon, he will allow you to live." And that's what God wants you to do. Well, Zedekiah was afraid of his own people. He was a cowardly king. He was the king of Judah. He knew his duty to do what God commanded, but he disliked the consequences because he refused, on the grounds of fear of his own people, to do what God had commanded him to do, to surrender, and the people of Israel and Judah would be allowed to continue to live and have their city, and the temple would have still been there, and they would still been able to have worshiped God. But because of fear, he wouldn't do it. You go back to the time of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18. In Elijah's time, we find that Elijah, when he was on the mountain there, Mount Carmel, against all of the prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth, and they had the contest there on that place because of who was going to be God, the true God or Baal. And Elijah asked them there, "Why do you halt between two options? If God is God, then follow him. If Baal is God, follow him." And so Elijah gave them that choice, and they, by and large, chose the wrong one. But he wanted to know what God said, the king did, Zedekiah. And he knew that Jeremiah was going to tell him the truth. He knew that Jeremiah would tell him what God said and not what the false prophets would tell him. And so he wanted to know. But his mind was kind of harassed with the idea of this divided attention, what should be and what is going to be. And so he was troubled in the fear of God, but he also had the fear of man. So he was caught in between the two. As someone had said about other things also, Zedekiah had enough religion, just enough to make him miserable, no matter what choice he made. And yet Jeremiah said, "If you'll obey God and go against your own people here and surrender, then I'm going to allow you to live." And so he had enough of God's message and enough knowledge to seek God's message, but he was not willing to obey. And fear was the primary factor in it. And so we look at that, and we live in a time, as we always do in some ways, that we fear the things around us. We fear persecution. We fear the things that happen in life every day, illness or other things that happen, and we want to stay away from those But over and over again, God tells us if we trust in Him, we place our faith and our trust in Him, even if we fear, He'll be with us through the way. And so we look at Zedekiah, the king of Judah, as an example here. And we find here that fear creates an instability in character and in conduct. He knew well to ask the counsel from Jeremiah, because he knew that Jeremiah, even though Zedekiah the king allowed Jeremiah to be persecuted, he knew that he was the man of God, that he would tell him the truth, no matter what it was. In chapter 38 and verse 14, it says, then Zedekiah king sent and had Jeremiah the prophet brought to him at the third entrance of the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, I will ask something of you, hide nothing from you. And Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, if I declare it unto you, will you surely not put me to death? And if I give you advice, you will not listen to me. So Jeremiah said, I'm not sure why I'm here. But he says, if you ask what God wants, I'll tell you. But you have to promise, because you're going to put me to death if I tell you the truth. And so Zedekiah assured him, I will not put you to death, but tell me what God says. Again, he wanted, in one sense, to hear what God had to say, but he was afraid of his own people to do the things God commanded. And so there was the fear that caused him not to do what God commanded, even though he knew that Jeremiah was telling them the truth. That kind of fearfulness paralyzes the will. And for example, you go back to the days of Moses, when they came out of the Egyptian slavery and went to Mount Sinai, received the law, and went right from there up to Kadesh Barnea, just outside the Promised Land. And God had told them, you go in and I've given you the land, and you take it. So they could have done that in less than 2 years' time from coming out to the time they got to Kadesh Barnea, and they could have entered the Promised Land right then. But Moses sent the 12 spies in, and they came back, and 10 of them said, we can't take the land. We're like grasshoppers in their sight, and they have walled cities and great armies. We can't possibly conquer the land. Well, Joshua and Caleb, on the other hand, says, let's go and take the land, for we are well able to overcome it, because the Lord will be with us. Well, because what they believed, and they believed the ones that lied and said they couldn't take the land, they wandered in the wilderness for another 38 years, and all the ones over 20 years of age died in the wilderness before they came in. So that kind of paralyzing fear is what kept them, most of those people, out of the Promised Land. And so this kind of fear also fosters a duplicity in life and thought, not knowing which way to go, even though God's way is going to be a blessing to us. In James chapter 1 and verse 8, James says there, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The word double-minded comes from a word meaning two-souled. In other words, you got a soul, S-O-U-L, over here, and another soul that says to do right, another tells you to do wrong, and you choose to do wrong because one that has both of those is one that is double-minded. He can't make up his mind, and Zedekiah fell into that category. So it's an example to us, and yet a bad example that we don't want to follow. It also confuses the clear voice of conscience. Zedekiah became unable to make the right decision for himself and his kingdom because he was paralyzed by fear of what could be or might be, or what God planned for him. He was no longer fit to be the king over Judah because he's not going to make the right decision. And eventually, everything was going to be lost. In verse 15, he says, Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, If I declare it unto you, you will not surely put me to death. And if I give you an advice, will you not listen to me? But he didn't. But everything was going to be lost. You go back to verse 23. says that so shall they surrender all your wives or children, the Chaldeans, and you shall not escape from their hand, and shall be taken by the hand by the king of Babylon, and you shall cause this city to be burned with fire. And so we see then, he says, here's your choice. You can go out and surrender as God commanded, and God will allow you and your family to live, will allow the city to stand, and it will not be burned down with fire as it was going to be. And so the choice was up to him. Well, he made the wrong choice. Well, his fear also enfeebled him. He didn't receive the power which God was going to give if he would simply obey the things the Lord commanded. Fear can overcome good intentions and good will and God's way. In Revelation 21 and verse 8, Revelation 21 verse 8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, we might mention right here, that doesn't mean that we can't fear anything. Fear is a common response that God has given to us, like every other thing that we have, that an emotion that we have, whether it's fear or anger or love or whatever it might be. It has to be controlled and brought into the ways of God. But if we allow fear to take us away from God, as Zedekiah did in his day, we're going to be lost eternally, because that fear becomes more important than doing the will of God. So we have to be willing to stand for what is right, no matter what the situation may be. Someone said one time, fear is the tax that conscience pays to guilt. And so Zedekiah was guilty because he knew that he was not going to do the will of God, and that he still wanted to hear what God's message was. And sometimes people are that way, but they still turn away. Also, the fear of men degrades the noblest nature, and it brings it down to being degraded. Here is the king, the ruler of God's people, and he was reduced to a miserable schemer, afraid that even his own people would turn against him and destroy him. Even though God said, if you'll do what I command you, I'll take care of you. You're not going to die from that. But he could no longer provide the leadership that was expected of the king. And so God was going to cause him to be destroyed. In Proverbs 29 and verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Well, Zedekiah could have stood between the Babylonians and the people and defended them as well as himself and his household, but he didn't do it. And so there was no vision that could lead people in the right way. It was not a miraculous vision here. Excuse me, it was simply accepting the testimony of Jeremiah that God had given to him to believe and obey and follow him. Well, we may not be able to stand up and deliver a whole city or a kingdom or something like the king could do, but we can do that for ourselves and for our family and people around us, to stand for the right every day we live and whatever thing that comes before us. Well, the natural fruits of that kind of fear came in the action of the king. Back to Jeremiah 13, verse 14, 38, verse 14. It says, then Zedekiah sent and had Jeremiah the prophet brought to him at the third entrance of the house of the Lord. And the king said therefore to Jeremiah, I will ask you something and hide nothing from him. Well, why did he go to the third entrance of the house of the Lord? Well, Zedekiah was afraid the people would see that Jeremiah was brought to the temple, and if he came in the first door or the second door, somebody would see it, and he was afraid they'd know that he talked to Jeremiah. And so he brought him around to the back door, I guess you would call it, and brought him in that way so nobody would see. So Zedekiah didn't even want anybody to see Jeremiah coming in to talk to him, and that he was going to consult with him. And then there was the cringing coward. Look at chapter 38 and verse 24. Then Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, let no one know of these words, and you shall not die. In other words, don't tell anybody you talked to me. Don't tell them the same things you told me, because I won't let them kill you if you hold on and not tell them. He didn't want anybody to know what Jeremiah had told him, that he had told him the truth that God had revealed to him. And so he didn't want the prophet to be killed, and he knew that if they killed Jeremiah, that was going to be upon him also. So he wanted to know the will of God, but he didn't want to do anything about it. But also the lying intentions, because he says that he didn't want anybody else to know about it. But look at verse 25. He says, but if the princes hear that I have talked with you, and they come to you and say, declare to us now what you have said to the king, also what the king said to you, do not hide it from us, and we will not put you to death. Then you shall say to them, I presented my request before the king, and he would not make me return to Jonathan's house to die there. And so the king said, not only don't tell them what I've told you, if they ask, just tell them something else to lie to them. And then he says, not only that, if they tell we're going to put you to death, says, no, don't tell them. Don't tell them that. So the king became a coward. He shouldn't have been, because Jeremiah told him what to do to be delivered. But he didn't do it. Shakespeare said one time, cowards die many times before their deeds, but the valiant tastes of death only once. Well, the king died many deaths because of his fear that he allowed to overtake him. Also, there is the fear of men that entails the inevitable derision and disaster. All of Zedekiah's scheming kept him out of the difficulties only for a little period of time. And so he feared what might happen. He feared what might happen if he listened to Jeremiah. He might fear what might happen if he didn't listen to Jeremiah. But they found out anyway, as we read in this particular passage. They found out what was going on. But what did his actions bring upon the king? The scorn of the observers. In Jeremiah 38, verse 19, it says there, Zedekiah the king said to Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews who have defected to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they abuse me. What he feared came to pass because he refused to do what God said. Also, the women would jeer at him. In verse 22, it says, now behold, all the women who are left in the king of Judah's house shall be surrendered to the king of the Babylon's princes. And those women shall say, your close friends have set upon you and prevailed against you. Your feet have sunk in the mire, and they have turned away again. So there is derision even of the women in his household, and also the desertion of his friends. It says there at the latter part of verse 22, even the king's friends were disgusted at him that he did not hear the word of God and was willing to do something about it. And worst of all, his weakness would lead to God's judgment upon them. Verse 23 says, so shall they surrender all your wives and children to the Chaldeans, and you shall not escape from their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and you shall cause the city to be burned with fire. In other words, all of these things that I have said will come because you have not stood up for what is right. But also there is the fear of men, which alienates God's protection and favor from his own people. Zedekiah's selfish plottings left him in a position of being miserable in all of the alternatives that he had except doing the will of God. His life would have been spared if he had taken the course of action which Jeremiah told him. but it would be spared only if he was willing to suffer whatever suffering and degradation would come upon him for doing the will of God. And so the other alternative was going to bring about ruin. Verse 18 says, But if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, and then this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape. In other words, this dilemma is what was brought upon him. And it was of his own making, because he would not do the will of God. All of the schemings without God's will is not going to bring about the blessing of God. In Numbers 32 and verse 23, the Bible says there in the book, in the Law of Moses, he says, be sure your sins will find you out. Well, Zedekiah faced up to that eventually. And so we find that honest obedience to God, regardless of the consequences, is always going to be the best choice. Even if it may cause us to be persecuted or have other problems and troubles in life, God will see us through it. And Romans 8 and verse 28, it says, we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose. Now, he did not say, if we believe and love God, that everything will be all right for us. He says, all things will work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Well, we find that Zedekiah was called according to his purpose, but he didn't answer the call. He stopped. He would not do the will of God. And so God's going to be with us even through difficulties, problems, troubles, and fears if we'll place our faith and trust in him. But his paralyzing fear that the king had was going to do him in finally. And so he left him friendless. It left him in a situation where there was no one to help. Even though he was the king, even the princes of his own kingdom turned against him. And it was to deprive him of everything that God wanted him to have as the king of Judah. And so he was deprived of all of the divine blessings. Now, we turn over for a moment to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning there at verse 28. He says, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. That was written well before the coming of Zedekiah the king. And yet that principle is exactly what he did. He wanted to hear what God said, but he was not going to do it. He was not going to believe it. He was not going to obey it. And so in Jeremiah chapter 39, we have the rest of the things that happened to him. Jeremiah 39 and verse 1 says, in the ninth year, Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and all his army came against Jerusalem and besieged it. And then the 11th year of Zedekiah in the fourth month, on the ninth day of the month, the city was penetrated. Notice it took a year and a half of this siege of the Jerusalem, finally for the Babylonians to take it. Verse 3, then all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. Now, I'm not going to read the names there, but skip down to verse 4. So it was when Zedekiah the king of Judah and all the men of war saw them, that they fled and went out of the city by night, by way of the king's garden, and by the gate between the two walls, and he went up out on the plain. But the Chaldean army pursued and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. So they went out the back way, as he had allowed the prophet only to come in the back way to the temple. He went out the back way with his guards and his army. And it says the Babylonians caught up with him. It says, and when they had captured him, they brought him to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he pronounced judgment on him. Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes in Riblah. And the king of Babylon also killed the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put Zedekiah's eyes out and bound him with bronze fetters, and brought him off to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away the captive of to Babylon, the remnant of the people, who defected to him with the rest of the people that remained. So not only did he take the ones that surrendered to him, he took all of them back with him. And so that was what was brought about because of Zedekiah's fear of doing what God commanded. Well, what can we learn from this particular passage? Well, first of all, we have to obey what God commands. In favor of this life, he wants us to follow him every day we live. In Jeremiah 38, verse 20, he says, "So shall it be well with you, and your soul shall live." Well, that's as much a message to you and me as it was to King Zedekiah. Also, we should not trust in friends and friendships that will lead us away from the will of God. Zedekiah did that over and over again in his 11 years as the king of Judah, and that he never understood the truth of what Jeremiah wanted him to know. He could have done what was right at any time, but he didn't. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, "Be not deceived, evil companionships corrupt good morals." And if we continue in that way, we can be led astray. Another thing we learn is that righteousness makes for courageousness. Proverbs 28 and verse 1 says, "The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous is bold as a lion." In 1 John 4:18, it says, "Perfect love casts out fear." Now, our fear is going to always be there because it's a natural response that we have in life. But God wants us to know if we believe him, we follow him, and we obey his will, he's going to take care of us, even in fearful and difficult times. But we have to make the choice to believe him and to obey him. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?